information.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it on the wiki.
Okay.
And I didn't make any graphs or something, just put some data.
Okay.
And yeah, that's pretty much what I did. And now, if you like, it would be nice to discuss the optimization, the third optimization, so
okay.
I can implement something.
Okay, okay. So, yeah, we should discuss that. Let's go through this,
okay.
Your new results first.
So,
this is where the new results start, right?
Yeah.
So,
I divided for the three...
So, this is for disk... This for the traces or for the disk?
Sorry, for the disk. For the whole disk. Yes, for the whole disk.
Okay, so that is for the whole
disk.
For web.
Yeah, that's for web, that's for one machine, that's for the other machine, and online plus webmail. That's only webmail.
Oh, so you flip the numerator and denominator?
Yeah. Yeah. That's both.
Okay, this is for both?
Yeah. I painted this data because it just as a way of remembering where is each file in the file name.
So when you just take individual disk, the similarity is lower than when you put them together. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, there's similarity between each other.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And this is really the important one.
Yeah.
So this tells me on an average I have one copy of every block.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
This is
only my machine only, and
okay.
This is all of them.
All of them, meaning?
Four.
For all these four
guys.
Yeah. Okay, so that's...
Three.
For four people, the average replication degree is almost three.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
But in this case, the interesting thing is the distribution of the... It's a big...
Wow. So there are so many replicas here?
Yeah. For those groups.
What's
and these are the zeros, which is the highest, the most duplicated one on all the machines. This block, 3D.
What is this block? Could you use DebugFS to find that?
No, I could. I actually have that information. I put it here.
It's interesting. What would be replicated so many times?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fun. That's an interesting thing to know. Yeah.
Could it be that some special class of blocks? For instance, inodes. For the inode blocks, if they are not being used, they are initialized to a certain.
Yeah,
content.
Something like that must be something like that. Yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Does DebugFS also tell you whether it's metadata?
Yeah.
It does?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is
mail. For mail.
Mm.
Which is very low.
Okay, so this is static similarity.
Yeah.
And I guess the next thing is to measure the
dynamic
similarity. Or even the static similarity
of the
trace itself,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. For that, I guess I don't have to wait more. For getting more traces, I guess I'll do it for some. It will be nice to have it, let's say, for 1 hour, one
mm-hmm.
day, 1 week, 1 month before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that. Yeah.
So now you're still doing all the data collection, right? Oh, by the way,
yeah.
Did Eric contact you? He contacted me about something.
Yeah, I was doing this processing on Leopard, Cheetah, on many machines, and he told me no. No. No, you shouldn't use those for that. Yeah. He gave me a machine, Papu. I'm doing that,
So what were you doing on those machines?
For example, these things take quite some time, getting the frequency of these blocks and these kind of things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you were doing it in a distributed way or just single process?
I had it, for example, for one
mm-hmm.
type of trace in a machine, for other type of trace in a different machine.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Another processing I have to do every day is I get traces from... from, I mean, you have traces per processor, so I have to merge them and things like that. I was doing all of that on those machines.
So there are several machines in the rack which probably are not being used, but they are not very powerful though.
Yeah, that's why I picked those. Because they have 4 gigs of RAM, 8 processors.
Yeah, so maybe we should upgrade some of those machines in the rack. That would be a good idea.
The PUP is very good actually.
Yeah?
I'm using PUP.
And yeah. There's also, we have some really huge memory machines that maybe you might have used for bioinformatics work.
Oh, yeah. No, I never use them. But
I think Iri has some good machines. I don't know whether we should ask him. Maybe we can ask him to.
Yeah, with gigantic amount of memory. Yeah. No, I never use it. I think they use it for blasting and things like that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never use it. No.
Mm.
No. Yeah, so that's pretty much what I did. So yeah, it would be nice to have information about what these blocks are. I like that. I have that menu.
Mm-hmm. So two things, right? The static similarity of the traces and then dynamic similarity of the traces.
Yeah,
those
exactly.
are the two
those
other
two,
things that
yeah.
I think these are the things that will help us make the case for our work.
Yeah.
And these should be part of the motivation.
Yeah.
And okay, so that's
then running the tool.
Okay. It would be good if all these blocks are actually used in the trace, right?
Yeah. We don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe the static similarity for the trace is much higher than the overall static similarity of the disk. Maybe
yeah.
it will be lower, who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So okay. So you wanted to talk about the third optimization.
Yeah, so I can implement that. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay. So
the idea was add copies at the block layer.
That's what the initial thinking was. I don't know if you had time to think about it more.
Not really. The idea is, I mean, it would be nice to do it at file level, but for the replaying purposes, that would be very hard. So I guess block layer is fine. Yeah.
So I guess the two questions are what to copy and when to copy.
Yeah.
And where to copy, of course.
Yeah.
And so those are the what, when, and where.
And another thing is that we discussed that we can do the copy up. We don't have to do it at the module level.
Because
we can copy things from, I mean, we can copy stuff from our device into what we think is unused space.
Okay, I guess I didn't understand that part.
Up
meaning from user space?
Yeah. At least for fast development,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the best option. To actually do the copying
in user space.
In user space. But the trick still is not the coding itself, the trick is what to copy and how do we know what to copy.
Right, that's true. And I guess the other question is
when?
When to copy, and if we do it in user space, how do we measure the overhead? And
of the copying, you mean?
Of, yeah, I guess of the copying and its influence on foreground traffic, because when we do the copies, we'll affect foreground traffic, right?
I mean, we have the trace. So we have
we replay the trace
plus
the
plus that.
Additional
so we'll
traffic.
Have more. We have another trace that we can compare against the old one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, yeah, it's not the best option, but I think
it's the fast.
It's fast.
Okay.
Yeah. And we don't, and we won't lose that much.
So the point would be, but how, I guess the problem is that.
And even.
So you'll have to pre-process the trace so that you change the logical block numbers?
No. No, the idea would be to.
Because you don't want to, you want to have your replica space spread across the disk, right? Or somewhere in the disk and maybe in the middle of the disk.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that would be even easier, yeah.
What?
I mean, we don't have to actually create the copies, but instead modify the trace, assuming copies of all the blocks to the best position they could be.
No, but you don't know head position ahead of time. That depends on the scheduler.
Of course, but
So what I was trying
sure.
to suggest is that we could, let's say, I have a trace that is to this disk D1. Okay. And so what I can do is, so this is the original trace, right? I take the original trace and process that so that the trace maps to a disk D2, and
I'm leaving this space, okay.
so for instance, the original request to this area would change to this.
Okay,
So these are going to be the locations where we create copies. So just post-processing of the trace, or I should say pre-processing of the trace before we replay it, so that it is to a different disk.
I guess that's way more easy than do ourselves the indirection, and we don't actually gain anything in this case. I mean, it won't be a module that you can use in reality, but for experimental results only, yeah, I guess that's much better. It's practical.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we do that, then, well, we could do this inside the module, but if you want to simplify it, I'm trying to walk through this process to see if
Okay.
it actually works or not.
Okay.
So I don't know if this would work, this processing. So that takes care of playing back the traces, but I also need to do duplication, right? So for the duplication, what do I do? I need to read and then write,
Yeah.
or do it in an opportunistic fashion somehow. If you want to do opportunistic, for instance, if I read data, since I have it in memory, I write it right now, then doing it at the user level maybe does not work. I don't know if it would work, or you would additionally have to read something. So this is the trace playback part.
Yeah.
And then I have duplication. So with the duplication, we have to do the duplication and also measure the overhead of doing the duplication. So your suggestion, I guess, was to this is I have new trace. So I take the new trace and play back the new trace,
Yeah.
and in parallel I do duplication. Is that right?
I mean, actually, the new trace, I mean, the first thing will be to, let's say, I mean, the best case, let's say, I mean, the algorithm that will calculate what to copy, let's say it can read into the future, so it knows what to copy. So let's do, I mean, just for comparison purpose, the best option that will be that all the blocks that are being read on the trace, we copy them on all the
Or how much ever space there is.
how much, yeah, like as much as we can, and that will be the best number we can get for that trace, and then try to make it more realistic and say, I mean, giving a portion, the first portion of the trace, duplicate this and see what happened in the future, trying to predict something like that. And then now the other option is when do I mean when we duplicate it? We can duplicate before actually replaying the trace. We can duplicate at the same time.
The question is duplication. Okay, what to duplicate? Second, where to duplicate? And third, when? And there's fourth also, how? How do I do the duplicate?
Yeah.
Because we are doing it in user space, we are not doing it inside the kernel. We do not have access to data that is being read. So we have to issue additional reads.
I mean, the reads would be issued, but the module will be able to answer the reads from its own cache. But maybe we can add some hints to this cache so it can save some blocks for later, assuming that it's going to copy them or something.
So that is possible. And the other thing, yeah, that is certainly possible. Yeah, that is possible. But the question is, how do you coordinate between the trace playback and so you do the duplication at the right time, so when you have the right contents in memory. Maybe it's not that tricky. So, and in terms of when, right, in terms of when, we could either do periodic duplication or continuous duplication, right?
We could try both.
And the question is, when if you want to do continuous duplication, you need to synchronize with the trace playback. Because you need to know which blocks are in memory.
I don't understand.
When you do continuous duplication, you're duplicating based on what you read right now.
Yeah.
And what is in memory. So then you create duplicates.
Yeah.
And so comes, I guess this is part of how it's continuous and or maybe even when periodic. So in the periodic case, you have intervals after which you do duplication.
Yeah.
Maybe during idle time, maybe after a certain interval. And then you would have several data, a substantial amount of history that you would use to make a duplication, right? So these are easy to do. I mean, these decisions are easy to do inside the kernel, but hard to implement. These are easy to implement in user space, but hard to do it correctly. Right,
yeah.
Because you need synchronization with the trace playback. But it's possible, I think. I think we need to think more carefully about how this duplication will coordinate with the trace playback. And then we can do both continuous and periodic. But I think I do agree in principle that it is probably better to do user space evaluation. And since the duplicates, and the question is, do we want to keep persistent duplicates? Because if we want to keep persistent duplicates, then we had to think about how to format the space. Because with each block, we also need to store what is the original location of that. Or is that not necessary?
Not necessarily. I mean, we can,
because
we will indirect and we know ahead what's for that space.
And are we keeping the information about duplication persistently? I guess even that is not required, but it would be good to have it persistent. So next time I start my machine, I will know where my duplicates are, right?
Yeah, but for our experiment, I mean, that would be for a real system being used, but for our experiment, we don't really need it.
Well, it's hard to say. If you want to have that capability, then you need to pay an overhead to maintain that persistent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We need to write that.
Yeah, we could possibly simulate that somehow, but yeah. Well, for now, I think we can ignore
or
that.
Or somehow, that, I mean, I mean, this is a small space, so this space can have the information at the same time as what the duplicate. I mean, the structure, this structure.
Mm-hmm.
Because the blocks can be somehow, we cannot block that, let's say, that it's a page plus a sector, and the sector has as a header descriptor of this is a copy of this and this and this, or something like that.
Right, but that would only be a limited set of copies.
Yeah.
Only the ones that are duplicated.
Yeah.
In addition.
But
the original set of duplicates, unless you do an entire disk scan,
yeah.
you do not have.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that should be. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
So that is something that we need to discuss in the paper somehow. And that we do not address that at this point. And which may be all right.
And as we were doing for the write optimization, we simulate somehow that in the way that whenever you get that information, we write some dummy data to the same sector, something like that. Simulating the writing to some journal or the structure that saves that information.
Yeah, I mean, that could be done, but...
Because that's actually pretty easy. I know when you have a new copy and send in a new request with dummy data, it's really not a problem. The problem would be to serialize the data and put it on disk and read it and reconstruct the structure from that. That's the issue, but...
Yeah, it's sort of, I mean, the project that we are doing on persistent data structures with George... that addresses a lot of issues that we have, for instance, to maintaining persistence here.
Yeah.
So, because there, the goal is to actually reduce the overhead of persistence. So not just to keep data persistent, but also do it in a very intelligent fashion. And the thing to note about the persistence of the data on disk is that it is write-only.
Okay.
So you don't read that data structure from disk. The data structure is entirely in memory. So the only thing that you do to the version on disk is do updates. So it's a write-only structure on disk, right? So one of the things that we are doing is to make it lock structure. So all the persistent data that you're updating on disk are logged.
Okay.
So that you have much better performance for updating the persistent data structure.
Okay. But I don't understand what you mean with write only. When are you going to read it?
You read it only during initialization.
Oh, okay.
So when you start the system, and for instance, if I load the IO dtube module, I
load
the entire structure, and then I write it. After that, I only keep writing.
Yeah, that's always.
It's a write only workload, and
yeah.
With write only workload, the best optimization is to do logging. And so that's sort of a completely...
That's actually true, yeah.
So that's a different concern. So we can, possibly point to
that idea, yeah.
So to that other idea, saying that is something that we are currently doing. And if we send both papers to Usenix Technical Council, that would be... it's a little tricky to refer to the same paper, another submission to the same conference. But you can say that this is beyond the scope of this paper, but here are some ideas that you can do to optimize the overhead of maintaining persistent data structures.
Okay. Okay, yeah, that's clear. That okay.
So what we can, for instance, here for the persistent stuff, we say that we maintain the duplicate information persistently, but we do not... evaluate maybe we can simulate the overhead of persistence, but even if we do not, I think it's still okay. I think that is one of the last things we might want to do after we take care of all of this stuff, is to simulate the overhead of persistent data structures.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, that's clear, that's good. Now, I was thinking a little bit about the what to copy in terms of the ARC replacement strategy, using the, I don't remember the name, the second queue that you use for things that are access twice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, things that are in that queue should be the ones that we actually copy. Or we could add a third level queue of things that are accessed three times,
so
or something like that.
This is the L2R, or not L2R, this is
R2Q?
2Q?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we have an ARC and an NRU implementation. So for in with the ARC information, we might know what to duplicate.
Okay, so what do you mean by our ARC? What is that?
I mean, our implementation of ARC on the module.
Okay, so you have an implementation of ARC inside the module?
Yeah.
Okay, and that ARC has two queues, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's ARC as it is. Actually,
okay.
Four queues.
Four queues?
Yeah.
Okay, what are those four queues? Can you...
Well, in the paper they describe as two queues, but these two queues are divided in pieces, right?
Okay.
I don't remember the names, but remember a queue grows and passes to L1 or L2 or one queue or something like that, but it's really like four pieces.
Okay.
So we have four queues.
And each queue is...
So
one queue is the first queue is the most important, the second queue is the less important, and so on. Is that how it is, or is it different?
No. It's something I don't remember, but something like things that new data goes to the first queue,
mm-hmm.
and once this data is accessed twice, this will age, but once this data is accessed twice, it goes to this side.
Uh huh. So to the other two queues?
To the other two queues. And it starts working on those two queues.
I see.
But now I don't remember why we have two queues and two queues. But there is some... Yeah, but that's pretty much the idea. So in this side you have things that are accessed twice.
Uh-huh.
And or more. And in this side things that are accessed only one.
Okay.
So they start aging. And that's for the looping workloads, for example.
Uh-huh.
That you see only one.
So the first queue is for capturing recency and the second queue is for capturing frequency.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So I see only two queues there. But maybe the implementation requires the queues to be
split
up into two.
I don't remember why, but yeah.
Okay, so we have that. But what are the... These are the things that we cache in memory? These are the blocks?
Yeah, we have those blocks in memory, yeah.
And you said LRU is also used for the same purpose. It's just a replacement of the ARC.
Yeah, it's to see
what
is best.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
LRU is what we had before, and then we discussed that we should go to the most... I mean,
okay.
The best replacement algorithm, which is ARC.
Okay. Okay, so... Yeah, the question is, what are the two queues being used for in the ARC implementation, in our module? The caching... The data that is cached only is for the first queue or both queues?
No, it's for both.
It's for both queues?
Yeah, but ARC, in this case, it helps with this as the regular ARC. I mean, it's ARC because if we see sequential patterns, for example, we won't affect these guys.
Mm-hmm.
It won't affect these.
Right.
So that's pretty much the,
okay.
the greatness of ARC.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so... then how can we use that ARC to do the duplicates?
What I was thinking is that we should duplicate based on frequency. But not frequency, but we should maintain here also things that are that are referenced much more than twice.
Mm-hmm.
And those we should copy.
And that information needs to be sent up to the user space duplication.
In case we do it on user space, but maybe it's easier to do it
in kernel.
In kernel, yeah.
So if you want to do it in kernel, then you have to create the ability to create new I/O.
Yeah.
And I guess we have, I don't know if you did that already. Have you created
new I/O? Yeah, I created new I/O for the write. Yeah.
When to do the write optimization.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah.
Which we don't have anymore.
I mean, we have.
We have that, but
not helping.
Yeah.
Doesn't help.
It doesn't help.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can create new I/O.
Yeah.
Okay, so then it's maybe more straightforward to do this inside the kernel, but I may be wrong. But certainly the post-processing we can still apply, right?
Yeah.
And reduce that complexity at least.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Well, actually, it's not a big deal. You could indirect it inside the kernel as well. It's a simple addition of a offset, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess what is partially addressed.
Yeah.
Based on maintaining additional queues in Arc.
Yeah. So the idea would be, so then we have, yeah.
So this is Arc extension, the way I see it at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, because what to copy is persistent, and we have traces for weeks, so you could do something very smart.
Mm-hmm. Well, we need to operate on based on the size of this. Size of the scratch space.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is that with Arc, for example, that's what I'm saying, we should maintain more information.
Mm-hmm.
Because with these replacement strategies, you are, because you are working in memory, you have Arc there you to know what to keep in memory. But in this case, which memory is very expensive, is very limited, but in this case we're talking about what to copy in a much larger space, in a very larger amount of time, because it's persistent.
Yeah.
So it needs to be Arc plus something else. That's my intuition.
That's true, yeah, that's a good point.
We are working in, for example, the history we are going to analyze to what to copy is
a much longer
history. Much longer. We could.
We could do a much longer history, yeah. That's true. The frequency in Arc, frequency queue in Arc, doesn't that capture longer histories? How long history will it capture?
It depends really on the size you give it to, you give to your cache, right? And what is on this queue and what is on this other queue, it's adaptive. It will adapt based on the workload.
Mm-hmm. So we can also think of a different data structure altogether, other than Arc.
Yeah.
They have another data structure that keeps track of important data to replicate. And maybe that's based purely on some sort of page rank mechanism, like ranking mechanism for data blocks. Say ranking mechanism, which is based on both recency and frequency. And we did something like this for excess, where the idea was, each page, and this is something that Josh came up with, and the idea was goes the reverse way. So let's say here you had a reference, so this is time going in this direction.
Okay.
So let's say you have a reference here, a reference here, and a reference here.
What was this?
And this is count. So you have some certain reference count here, certain reference count here.
Okay.
So you have a certain granularity at which you measure.
Each point is a new request.
And no, for example, all the same request.
The same request.
The same block.
The same
block was referenced, maybe two times here, once here, and twice here.
Okay.
Within this duration.
Okay.
And then the idea is that you use some sort of exponential weighting function So I'm going to multiply this count by this value. This count by this value and this count by this value.
Okay.
So the more recent references get more importance, but the old references also have some residual importance. So this value multiplied by this value plus this value multiplied by this value plus this value multiplied by this value.
Okay.
So this is sort of capturing, attempt to capture frequency and recency. We could do something like this. Here, the question, the concern with doing something like this is that we are not taking into account the sequence of access. There's no pattern of access. So if I take into account the pattern of access, maybe you can do something smarter, but I don't think that's feasible because of the complexity of the system. Something like Borg, what Borg does. We can look at the sequence of access, then we can also do something smarter. But I think for this project, we don't want to be too fancy
yes.
in terms of how we lay out data. It's just to copy the data and put it there. So the only question is, what do we copy? So we could directly borrow what we did for Access in terms of computing page rank and use that as an auxiliary structure. So either L2 arc, some sort of extension of L2 arc, which we have additional queue, which maybe keeps something that was referenced more than 3 times or 4 times, something like that.
Yeah.
Or we can do what we did with Access page rank. Because there the idea was we want to mine important data to copy into the flash. And here also we want to duplicate important data that will be are likely to be referenced more in the future, right? It sort of falls into the domain of what we were doing with Access.
Yeah.
So we could possibly reuse that entire module that George wrote in this as well, and that's all inside the kernel.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's an alternative.
Yeah.
Or we could, you know, have more than one. Have this Access version, have an arc-like version. No, these are the possibilities.
I think it's the first version should be arc.
Okay.
It's easier than just adding a queue.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. And if we think that we could use something like this, an implementation already exists. So
if we say from another way, let's say we have a big trace for a month, and you have,
you want to do,
and let's say you say you create copies every week, what would you copy? It's not the same question as you're going to copy every hour, what would you copy?
Or if you want to copy every night.
Or every night, what would you copy? Would you copy the things that are more, because it's also nice to have recency at the same time because it makes your space more efficient. You use this a lot for a very small time, then you don't use it again, you remove it somehow.
It seems to make sense to do sort of periodic copying rather than continuous copying, right? If you want to maybe copy every night, say, okay, I'm going to look at the accesses over the recent day and maybe in the last 2-3 days and last week maybe, and then make changes to my scratch space every night. That may be reasonable. And then we can say, okay, instead of doing every night, I'm going to do every 3 days, and then every week. So we could sort of play with that. So there are two parameters there. One is how much history, okay, and the second is interval, right?
Yeah.
Interval of between duplication. So these are the two parameters that I can think of. And then, of course, the algorithm itself, which could be which is the how part, which is either arc, page rank. So these are the various things that we can parameterize and play with and see how much improvement we get. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that addresses, I guess, what and how. So this is what. I guess this part is.
I think as we have a larger history, we don't need that history to be on memory with content.
If you have a larger history, then it may not necessarily be in memory.
Yeah, also, yeah.
It may not necessarily be in memory. As memory, we want to capture perhaps short-term locality because we have a small space.
Yeah.
And with the duplicate space, we want to capture maybe longer-term effects, right?
Yeah.
And it's good that we have large, long traces. We have traces for everything, right? So mail traces are also continuous, and the web mail and those. They're also continuing?
Yes. And their homes.
And the homes. Okay. So we have an opportunity to do long-term evaluation and vary how much history and those sort of things.
Yeah.
The only issue is that we do not have a month to play back the traces. So we have to play back the traces much faster and speed up the traces.
Yeah, for the homes there is not much.
Much activity.
No, there's maybe hundreds of times smaller than the mail.
Mm-hmm.
The mail.
So with mail, we might not be able to play back a whole lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, with mail, I guess what we'll do is to see, because there are days that there is not that much activity, maybe peak. I don't know, peak the highest with the ones. I don't know.
We could also, for instance, just do analytical evaluation, like quantitative evaluation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Say, okay, here is my parameter history, and since I have the entire trace, I can, for instance, compute hit ratio, or in the scratch space, say how much.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
As I increase the history, I have some hit ratio, and instead of playing it back each time, we can actually do this for all the traces.
Yeah.
And instead of actually having to play back each time with a different interval,
yeah,
and use a simpler metric to calculate what is the approximate efficiency of using that history duration and the interval. And using these parameters, I can compute hit ratio in the future, right?
Yeah.
And that will help us quickly do some basic evaluation without having to do experiments. And then, okay, it seems that this history is good because it gives me a certain hit ratio, and actually beyond which I do not get much benefit. If I see leveling off, then I could use this history and actually do the experiment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do the trace playback evaluation. So we should do some of these sort of computations.
Yeah, these are interesting things, and the good thing that, I mean, from what we have implemented, we don't really that much new, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very straightforward, yeah.
And...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I guess what I'll do, if we do periodic copying, replication, we need some kind of timers in kernel and things. I guess what I'll do, the easiest thing is that I'll write everything to debug FS, a process will read it, and at specific time it will replicate something like that.
Write everything to debug FS?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I mean, I'll communicate to user.
Okay. Device files.
Yeah, because when we, to play with times,
yeah.
to in periods of time, do this replication every certain time to maintain the queues easily, send it to users, so it will be much more easier.
And then to read it and write it up.
Yeah. So on the module, the implementation is straightforward. I need an extra queue,
mm-hmm.
let's say with a parameter that is a number of the frequency. Everything with a specific frequency goes there.
Yeah.
It has another specific size. And every time something, actually no, every time that something has more than this amount of sequences, this amount of frequency of accesses, I'll write it to user space, and the user space will maintain a queue. And the user level problem.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And when this queue reaches a size, or every, depending on the acceleration we have of the playback, every specific time, or when the queue is of this size, I do the copy.
Yeah, that makes sense. And if, let's say, you have a block that will access three times, you send it to user space, and then you have the same block once again access three times, you send it again to the user space, you know that this is accessed six times.
Yeah.
So you have a relative importance across multiple requests because you have only limited amount of crash space.
Yeah.
Right? So you want to choose this instead of in favor of something which is accessed only three times.
Yeah.
So this is A, and this is B. So A has six, B has three. So you want to use A if you have space only to put one, right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, everything's straightforward, everything should work, yeah.
So the next question is where. The where question is probably easy, maybe not so easy, and say that, okay, if it is in region 1, I will replicate in the region...
Pardon.
3 prime. This is 2, 3, 4. Here's 1 prime, 2 prime. Yeah. So 1 goes to 3 prime, 2 goes to, maybe 3 prime again, 3 goes to 1 prime, and 4 goes to 1 prime. So 2 prime is not being used. So maybe 1 should go to 2 prime, something like that. But some simple mapping.
That's assuming everything is randomly, the access is
randomly distributed. Yes.
If we knew that there are portions that are more access, we should put the copies there, away from that region. What do you think? We should put the copies there, right?
Because most of the time the disk will be there. More head will be in that area.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's already in that area, then it can use read the original. So I think one can go either to 2 prime or to 3 prime, preferably to 3 prime and then to.
Yeah.
Because cells have most degree of separation. Right?
Yeah, because I was saying that, for example, that's what we see. We see requests more like this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say this is the space,
mm-hmm.
the block space. So if you see things that are more like this, but you see much more requests at the beginning than at the end.
Uh-huh, yes.
So you have something more skewed. So it would be something like this should be filled before this and way before this. This is something like a queue. This gets filled, you send it here. This gets filled, you get it here. This gets filled, you send it here. This gets filled. You put it here. I don't know. No, but this is yeah.
We just put it far away.
Yeah, that's enough. Yeah.
Maybe easier.
Yeah.
And also, actually, maybe that's not the easiest one. Maybe what we need to do is to use the ones in the middle. The middle scratch space is the most efficient because
yeah,
it is the most quickly you can go there.
Yeah.
So if I have more popular data, I should try to put it in the middle one. If there is already no copy in the adjacent ones, if there is no copy in the adjacent, then I should put it in the middle. And if there is copy here, then I can put it elsewhere. So it should be based on where is the original location. And to take into account the popularity and give more preference to blocks that are accessed more frequently and give them preference to the middle locations rather than extremes. But there are exceptions. If there is already a copy in the middle area, then you store it elsewhere.
Okay. Yeah.
And there's also another thing, which is we don't necessarily need to create only one copy. We can create more than one copy. So
yeah.
Maybe it is more appropriate to create more than one copy of a block that's accessed very frequently than to create a copy for a block that's accessed less frequently. So if A frequency is 100 and B frequency is 3, then I should rather off create more copies of A. So maybe have 4 copies and have 2 copies here.
Yeah.
That would probably make more sense.
Yeah.
Right, so these are the kind of things that we can manipulate. And it's certainly easier to do that in user space.
Yeah.
To play with these variations.
Okay,
so I guess where?
Where is also? Yeah.
So where, I guess, maybe.
Subfunction and depends on things.
Is one concern popularity and how many copies? These are the questions that where need to address.
And to address those questions, you have information of frequency, basically.
Yeah, frequency.
And position.
Frequency and position, yeah. Okay, so when I think we address saying, okay, when is going to be nightly, 3-day, weekly.
Yeah.
We can experiment with this.
Yeah.
And maybe half day.
Yeah.
But it is best to do this in idle time. If there is idle time, then do it during that time. So is there a way to say, okay, there is a certain amount of idle time to communicate to between this guy and this guy? Maybe something that we can do there. Or it's just keep it really simple, just do night time, nightly, every night for a certain amount of time. If you're doing it inside the kernel, then you can monitor the frequency of the request, and then you have fewer requests, then you could start the application. But I think that's something that...
You could also do it from users.
You can?
Yeah.
How do we monitor that there is no I/O?
You can
inform the user space.
We can monitor.
We
can inform.
Yeah, that's so. So this is periodic is one possibility, and then idle time is another option. Let's start with the easier ones.
Yeah.
And then how we have addressed that is basically based on intervals. Actually, how was continuous or periodic? And as we said, we want to do periodic in this case. So I think that at least addresses to some extent the questions that we have with respect to the third optimization.
Yeah.
And doing it in user space seems reasonable, maybe faster, right?
It's million times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so development will be straightforward. Experimentation will take
So with the, I think we should probably begin with just just numerical analysis instead of actual experimentation.
The thing is that I could do numerical analysis in Bolivia, but experiments I can only do here.
Mm-hmm.
It would be better to do experiments here.
Okay.
Yeah.
But to do the experiment, we need to have some ideas to how much history.
Yeah, that's true.
That's all.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, that's true.
Maybe some numerical analysis cannot be avoided.
Yeah.
Or we could just do nightly duplication. Just stick to the simplest version and... Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I will ask you to think about this in terms of how you want to do the evaluation. I think you will probably be the best judge as to how to manage your time.
Yeah, okay.
But I think the first part is certainly the implementation itself, which needs to be done here.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I think it's okay. Do you think it's possible to get some help of the other guys so they have something to send to use next as well?
So there are five papers going.
There are five papers going. Okay.
But yeah, I could talk.
Maybe someone is interested in a lot of experiments and things. So maybe somebody wants to help.
Yeah, I guess the only person who might have some time, maybe Sajid.
Yeah, if he volunteers, it would be cool.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't have any problems with that. Maybe you want to talk to him.
See
if he's interested.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You can talk to him and see if he's interested.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Hmm?
I think the other guys are going to be more busy than they want to be.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And you might have to prep him on the project itself.
Excuse me?
I don't know how much he knows about the project. Maybe you can tell him about the project.
Yeah.
But he does, he is probably, from among all the people, he is probably the most free.
But I think they are also sending stuff to Usenet, right?
With Jason, yes, that is true. But he's at the point where...
Everything is smooth and going there, no?
Yeah, more or less. I think another student is taking over from him. For most of the experimentation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll talk to him. Yeah, maybe. Okay, yeah.
And the other thing is that, I mean, last time I asked you whether we need more equipment and more disk.
I was seeing the traces. Maybe not, because there is us checking the partitions and asking the guys of their home partitions. Really, pretty much everybody has the root partition at the beginning. I mean, the root at the beginning of the disk and the homes at SDR4 or something like that. Pretty much everybody. So I could shift that.
Mm-hmm. And what is in between?
In my case, for example, I don't know why, but SDA2 and SDA3 use it for VMs or experiments or things like that.
I see.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think, actually, now that I think about that, I think that's the default partition you get from Ubuntu. Because everybody has something like that.
Hmm. And those are not used?
Or maybe swap is in the middle. My swap is in the middle.
But that's really small, right?
Yeah, it doesn't make that much difference.
The question is, I mean, if we need to buy disk, then I should order it right away.
Okay.
Do you think I should order some large disk, like, I don't know, maybe 750 gigabytes or something like that? Or
that would be great, because I wouldn't have to do the shifting or chop some piece off.
Okay.
Okay, so why don't you look at your requirements and find a disk that we should buy, or just give me some capacity.
Okay.
I don't know if we get if I can buy terabyte disk right now. The other possibility is to set up a RAID across two disks, but that has the additional problem that we have to predict head position
for two.
For two disks, and it's a pain. Right?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Anyway, why don't you take some time and think about this? And what I'll probably do is just order a large disk anyway.
Okay.
In case we want to use it, we use it. If not, we can use it later. That's not a problem.
Okay.
So let me shop around for large disks and
okay.
place an order. Yeah? How about
okay.
that?
Sure.
All right, let me do that then.
Okay. You have 1 sec?
Sure.
I met Professor Sajjari the other time. He was telling me that there is some new reglement that says that now students that are citizens have higher priority for the pilot program,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't know. So he was telling me, so now really depends on Akshat, on the guys of India.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him, so do you think I should say that to Akshat and try to push it a little bit? He says, I leave that to your judgment. So do you think I should?
What is this all about? In what?
Because the pirate program will finance students, will try to finance students that are citizens or residents. I don't know why.
Okay.
More than foreign students.
Well, Akshat is already...
Akshat said yes.
Akshat
yes.
already said yes. I don't know what else.
But what I think it needs to happen, according to Professor Sajjari, is that somebody needs to give a little push from the IBM side.
Yeah, so I already sent your resume to Akshat, and we're
okay.
going to get the process started.
Yeah.
I don't know what else
is required. I don't know what...
If Fire does not want to fund you, then so be it. What...
Yeah.
Well, what I think you should do, when are the decisions going to be made, by the way?
I have no idea.